ministry for the Lord. And as a church, we've had a good opportunity this summer to try to reach our community through the fairs and through this parade that we did. We handed out a lot of literature, a lot of gospel literature, and that's good. You know, that's a good thing when we can do that. And but at the same time, there's many different aspects or ways of evangelism, and we all have that individual responsibility too. So even though the summer is coming to an end, our summer outreach, we still need to be looking for opportunities to talk to people about the Lord and pass out more tracts and try to be praying for those opportunities too and looking for those. So that's good. And we really are dependent upon the Lord. I was thinking, even as we were getting ready for the parade and passing those tracts out and looking at the weather forecast, and it was 90% chance of rain, and you know, we were excited about passing these tracts out, and that's, you know, we should have been, but it was up to God. Even our efforts for evangelism, you know, God has to make that opportunity open up for us to do that. And so we need to depend upon Him, even when we minister and evangelize. Well, take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we are in the middle of the chapter. We'll be looking at verse 21, Mark 5:21. And here in this section in Mark, over the past couple weeks, we have seen Jesus revealing Himself and revealing His divine power, His great divine power. We saw that in the storm. Jesus had power over the storm. He spoke to the wind and the water. And last week, we saw how Jesus had power over demonic forces. And Jesus, just with a word, He confronts Satan's hosts, and He defeats them. And here we come to another situation, another force, I guess we could say. And Jesus shows Himself powerful over that as well. So let's read about that. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Follow along as I read. "And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed Him and thronged Him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And He suffered no man to follow Him save Peter and James and John the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with Him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying, And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. We saw Jesus' power over a number of different situations. And we are moved by that. But I think when we come to this story, we deal with sickness and death a lot in our life, in our lifetime. And Jesus cares about that. And he comes in this situation, and certainly in just like all those other situations, he has a purpose to show who he is by what he can do. And in that, he's showing that he's God through the fact that he can cure disease and death. He has power over disease and death. That's what this story teaches us. Jesus has power over the wind, over demonic forces, and over disease and death. And we see those two aspects here of Jesus' power in this story. But we see Jesus' power over sickness, I think, first of all. Jesus heals sickness, first of all. And this account is kind of unique because we have these two different stories going on almost at the same time in Mark's gospel. And both of them show the desperate need of the people involved here. And that just magnifies Jesus' power. So Jesus heals sickness. And these stories show us that Jesus can heal sickness, not just generally the ability to heal sickness, but he can heal sickness when everything else has failed, when all other human means to try to heal sickness have been exhausted. Jesus comes in and he shows that he can heal it. He can heal that sickness. Notice in verse 23 that Jairus comes and he says, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. He says that she's at the point of death. He's done everything that he could to this point, and he comes to Jesus. And he believes that Jesus can heal him. Jesus can heal that little girl even when all human means have been exhausted. And we see that with the woman who comes to Jesus. In verse 26, we really see that. The gospel writer Mark, by the Holy Spirit, he emphasizes to us that she had exhausted all human means. Look at verse 26. It says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. It was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So not only did she try the other human means, but they didn't help her at all. They made her worse. But Jesus shows that he can heal sickness even when all other human means have been exhausted. He can do that. He has the power to do that. And we are told some more about what this woman was suffering, and that she had been suffering a long time. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And the word issue there is just the Greek word for fountain. She had a fountain of blood, or a flow of blood. And we don't know exactly what that was. All it says is that there was a fountain of blood. We have an idea of what probably that was, and I think it probably was that. But she suffered for a long time with that. For 12 years she suffered with this. And there's another description of that sickness in verse 34, where Jesus tells her to be whole, but be whole of thy plague. And that word for plague is the Greek word that means whip or lash. And that's a figurative description of what she was suffering with. It was like she was being tortured with a whip. And she could not be healed from that by any human means. So Jesus can heal when all human means have failed. And we also see that Jesus heals sickness because of his compassion. In both of these stories, notice that when Jairus comes in verse 21, there is a large crowd that is surrounding Jesus. Verse 21 says, when Jesus passed over again by the ship unto the other side, so now he's in the Jewish territory where he had tremendous popularity, not so much in that Gentile region where he just was. But now he's got much people gathered unto him. He was nigh unto the sea. And Jairus comes and he tells him, my little daughter is sick. And what does Jesus do? Does he say, well, Jairus, don't you see I got this crowd of people here? And think of the tremendous ministry impact that I could have by this huge crowd that's here. Does he say that? No, he doesn't say that. It just says he followed him. He went with him. He had compassion on that one man and that one man's need. And he went to go and help him. And we also see that compassion with the story of the woman here. As they're going along, this woman comes and Jesus takes the time to stop and deal with her. And we can think about that. I think that's significant because of what we know about Jairus. The text tells us that, verse 22, he was one of the rulers of the synagogue. And what we know about the ruler of the synagogue was that he was sort of the leader of the synagogue, or the president. And he had some duties to take care of the physical building and how things were arranged there. And certainly he was a prominent man. I think that's why his name is recorded. Because people, maybe the first readers of the Gospel of Mark would have known that. But certainly this is a prominent man in the religious community. And Jesus is coming with him. And Jesus could have given him the priority there. When he's going to help him, this man has asked him. But Jesus stops. And he takes the time to deal with this woman who may have been an outcast because of her situation, but he takes the time there, and that shows his compassion. So Jesus heals sickness because of his compassion. And then another important point in these two stories is that Jesus heals sickness as a reward of faith. Jesus emphasizes the need for faith in who he is. In this story. And it's interesting that faith is displayed in some different ways. When we think about the contrast between Jairus and this woman, they don't come to Jesus in the same way. Jairus comes very publicly. He bows down before Jesus in the midst of this crowd of people and states his need. But that's not how the woman comes. She comes not intending to be recognized. And we can imagine maybe a potential reason why. Maybe she was embarrassed. It's not something she wanted everybody to know what exactly her problem was. But Jesus rewards those different displays of faith. I think it's important that we recognize that. Even though they were different. One was very public. And one was not public at all. Jesus rewards that faith. No matter its measure, no matter how intense it was, Jesus rewards that faith. Even if it was just a small display, he rewards that with healing. And at the same time, when we think about the woman, Jesus encourages her to acknowledge her faith publicly. He comes and he asks this question here in verse 30. And he says, who touched my clothes? Say, well, why did Jesus ask that question? I don't think it was because he didn't know. I think Jesus knew. Jesus is God. Jesus knows. I think he asked the question to make a point. And Jesus knew who it was. It says in verse 30, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. That word virtue is the word for power. He knew that this healing power had gone out of him. He knew that. And I think that he allowed that. It wasn't just like she came with her battery cables and hooked up and he dispensed this power. I think he knew what was going on. He rewarded that very private display of faith with healing. But at the same time, he asked that question, and he wanted this to be acknowledged publicly. He looked around to see her in verse 32. He was looking for her. And he wants to emphasize with her that it was her faith that he responded to, her faith in his person and his power, even though it may have been very small. He rewarded that faith. So does that mean that if we just have faith, God will heal us of whatever ailment that we struggle with? And if we're not healed, then that means we don't have enough faith. No, I don't think that's what it means. Oftentimes, the Lord allows us to suffer affliction for his own reasoning. You think of the Apostle Paul. He was given a thorn in the flesh by God, and God allowed that. And that was God's purpose for him. And so not in every case is this God's will. But remember what Jesus is doing here. He's trying to make a point about himself. We are learning about Jesus here. We are learning that he has healing power. And does that mean that God doesn't heal today? Certainly not. We must depend on God and recognize that God is our only potential source of real healing. Even when all human means have been exhausted, God can heal. But Jesus, even more than the healing, he prizes the faith. He wants us to have the faith in his person and in his power, truly recognizing who he is. So Jesus is displaying his power here. And he does that, first of all, by healing sickness. He shows that he has power over sickness. And then as the story moves on, there is another aspect of Jesus' power that is revealed in the later part of the story when it comes back to what's going on at Jairus' house. And that aspect of Jesus' power is not just that he heals sickness, but that Jesus restores life. Jesus has power to restore life. And we see that Jesus intends to display that power all along. This is what Jesus was driving at. He was intending to get to Jairus' house at just the right time so that he could display that power, that restoration power, that life-giving power. We see that in two different ways, I think. One is the fact that he chose to delay the healing of Jairus' daughter. You know, when Jairus came and fell before Jesus, Jesus could have healed his daughter right there. And he did that on other occasions when people came to him for healing. He could have said, "Go home, your daughter is well." But he chose to go with him. He chose to delay because he had a purpose, and that purpose, I think, was to display his power, his life-restoring power. Another way I think we see that is in the fact that he chose to delay by dealing with the lesser of the two problems first. When you think about the problem that the woman had, and the problem that the little girl had, which was the greater problem? It was the little girl. The woman probably would have been okay while Jesus went and dealt with the little girl. She had this ailment for 12 years, and she may have been dying, but I think probably she would have been okay if Jesus would have dealt with the little girl first. Do you think that? All right, maybe? I think he chose to deal with the woman first on purpose. He chose to delay so that he would get to Jairus' house in just the right time because he wanted to display his life-restoring power. I think that's why he did that. And along with displaying that power, we see that Jesus encourages faith. Again, we see the priority of faith in Jesus' person, in his power. Think about the words that we read in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Think about how you would have reacted to those words if this was your daughter. Someone comes and says, "Your daughter's dead. There's nothing more you can do." That would have been a huge blow. And added to that, this messenger has absolutely no faith in what Jesus could possibly do. He dismisses any possibility that maybe Jesus is the solution to this problem. He says, "The master can't do anything anymore. Go away." And Jesus comes along, and I think he recognizes that Jairus is going to have a hard time here. And so he says, as soon as Jesus, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." He knows Jairus is struggling. And those two encouragements, those two verbs are in the present tense there. He's saying, don't be being afraid. Continue believing. Keep up your good work. I know you displayed the faith when you first came to me. Now keep it up. I am the solution to this problem here. Keep that up. So he encourages faith even as he is displaying his power, even as he's about to display his power. And then we see that Jesus restores life when the situation is hopeless. Jesus displays his life-restoring power even when the situation is hopeless. And the situation was hopeless. Some people believe that this little girl was not really dead. She was just in a coma. After all, Jesus did say, "The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." But I think that if we examine the details of this passage, the little girl was dead. I think the situation was hopeless. And some of the reasons for that are what we read in verse 23. Jairus recognizes that the little girl is at the point of death. And then the direct statement of the messenger in verse 35, he says, "Thy daughter is dead." And then also the response of the mourners here to what Jesus says. They laughed him to scorn. They could see that she was obviously dead. And then when Jesus brings her back to life, the people that were present there in the house, in verse 42, it says they were astonished with a great astonishment. That seems like a reaction that people would have when someone comes back to life. I think the daughter was dead. The situation was hopeless because she was dead. And then Mark, through the Holy Spirit, takes the point to establish the fact of the girl's resurrection. And I think that's why he states the names of the people that were present with Jesus. We read in verse 37 that Jesus suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. So here are the witnesses and the father and mother that are present there to her resurrection. And then also, Mark really wants to emphasize that this is what happened, and that's why he records the exact words of what Jesus said to this little girl in the exact language that he said them. He records in verse 41 what he said, "Talitha kumi," and then he gives the translation of those Aramaic words, the language Jesus used there. "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." So Jesus, Mark, wants to establish the fact of what's going on here. I think that also shows that the situation was hopeless and that the girl was really dead and she was raised back to life. So then we come to the question, why did Jesus say she's sleeping if she was really dead? I think the answer to that is that this is a way that Jesus refers to death. This is a way that God, through the scriptures, refers to death. It's a metaphor of death. Jesus is saying that death is like sleep. And just as people can be aroused out of their sleep, people can be awakened from the dead. And that same terminology is used of Lazarus. Remember how Jesus delayed to go to Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb. And Jesus said that he was sleeping. And that was a way that he was referring to death. And then the Apostle Paul also uses that same terminology. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as them that have no hope." So Jesus is teaching us here about how we should think about death. We should think of it as sleep. So we need to realize what Jesus is doing here in this story. And that is, he is revealing who he is. He's showing that he is God. Just like he was showing in those other stories, he has the power over the wind and the sea. He has power over a whole host of demonic forces. And he has power over sickness. He has power over death. And what does that tell us about Jesus? It tells us that he is God. He has divine power. That means that he's God. That also means that we need to respond in the right way to Jesus. Notice how Jesus emphasizes faith, the need to accept who Jesus is and depend upon that in your personal situation. So let me ask you, do you know who Jesus is? Jesus is God. And we see that because of what Jesus has done. But have you displayed faith in his power and in his person? It may be a public display of faith like Jairus. It may be a more private display of faith. But we're not talking about the measure of faith. Jesus just wants you to have faith, to accept who he is. And especially in regard to what he did for your sin. Because of his power, he was able to die on the cross and to take that punishment that you deserve. And through your response to him, you can receive encouragement that Jesus gives here in thinking of death as sleep. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That promise is for those who accept Jesus. We must accept who Jesus is, display faith in him. We could take comfort even in the face of sickness and death because of Jesus' great power. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for displaying the power of Jesus Christ here in your word. And we pray that we may truly understand and acknowledge and believe in Jesus. Believe in who he is. Oh Lord, help everyone here to come to that appropriate response to Jesus Christ. We thank you for the comfort that we can receive even in the face of sickness and death. We praise you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.